To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its sponsors, Christy Doherty and Mia Hansen Aloha, and our very special super subscriber sponsor, Miss Madonna Hines, Madge with a sexy J. We love you, girls. Hey, just a quick note before we get this started. Something weird is going on with my mic again. I don't know what is going on. I just bought a new one, you guys. So that's why I sound crazy. But it was such a fun episode. We just left it there. So there you are. We'll have it fixed by God knows when. Hello and welcome to the Watch What Crappens podcast. The podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on ye old bravs. I'm Ronnie from the Rose Pricks podcast and the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills audiobook podcast on iTunes, etc. And I'm here with the gorgeous Ben Mandelker of the B-Side blog and the Banter Blender podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Ronnie. Oh, you're so kind.
Oh,
you're
my so God. Kind. We had Super Bowl day together yesterday. Yeah. So it's already like day two of the week, kind of.
Yeah, yesterday was basically like an unrecorded podcast for us. We watched the Super Bowl together. Ronnie came over, which was so lovely of you. And this is thematically appropriate today's episode because we're talking about Top Chef and Married to Medicine because Atlanta was not on last night. And the reason why it's thematically appropriate is because Ronnie brought over his famous biscuits that we've been talking about for about 2 weeks now on this show.
Yeah, so I got to bring over some biscuits for some tastings.
And they were so fucking good. I had to curse because they were so good. It was on. I think it's also because Stassi started following us. I have to start talking like Stassi now. No, those biscuits were so, so good. I had one. It was the first thing I ate this morning. I woke up this morning. I'm like, all right, well, I ate all that shit for the Super Bowl. So this morning, I'm going to start eating my healthy eating again. And the first thing I did was I had a biscuit.
Yeah. Yes, Batch, as Tori would say. Yes, Batch. that was nothing like her. Sorry, Mikey got in there.
But, level.
And Ben made some pressure cooker wings, which were delicious, and then vegan Rice Krispies thing, which I should have hated because I mean vegan.
Yeah.
Not even this, just because it's vegan, but I really hate vegan versions of good stuff like Rice Krispies treats. Like it makes me mad. You know, it's like just eat a vegetable. But yeah. It didn't make me mad. It made me extremely happy. It was delicious.
Well, here's my policy on vegan food. Okay. Or I should not say my policy. It's more just the way I like to think of vegan food. I think I like my vegan food to be organic, not like organically sourced, like it's organic food, meaning that the recipe should be an organic recipe, as in this is what the recipe is. And it just happens to be vegan. I don't like the vegan versions of meatloaf. That's stupid. And I especially hate it, side note, because there's a restaurant here in LA called Real Foods Daily. And it's a vegan restaurant. And it's like a vegan Reuben and a vegan meatloaf and a vegan burger. And it's like, you're making fake versions of all these foods. So don't call yourself Real Food Daily. I hate that.
Yeah, I really don't like that restaurant that's by the Crunch. What's that called, that vegetarian restaurant?
Oh, Veggie Grill. Oh, I don't mind Veggie Grill.
I hate it because that's the same thing. They're like, it's a wing salad, but it's tofu wings. Yeah. You can fuck off with your tofu wings. Okay?
but their Santa Fe chicken, you know, chicken with an apostrophe between the K and the N, their Santa Fe chicken sandwich is actually really good.
Yeah, if you have to put an apostrophe in your chicken, I don't want to eat that.
But that being said, the vegan Rice Krispie treats were an Alicia Silverstone recipe, believe it or not.
You know, that's another trigger. That's something else I should have been extremely angry about.
I know, I should have been angry about that too. But it's actually a delicious recipe. My friend Andrea gave me the recipe initially. And it's honestly great. And every time I've made them, They've been hits. They're so easy to make. I also had a Rice Krispie treat this morning for breakfast, so my healthy breakfast. So
yeah, I made egg sandwiches. But also, Michelle Collins was over there last night making everybody laugh their asses off. I mean, she's so funny. And she got on this Domino's kick where she or she's like, we're having Domino's. That's it. Like, it's delicious. It's trash. It's total trash. But, it's, you know, she talks, but she got it. And I was like, bye. I just couldn't wait because I'd been, you know, drinking all day. I was just funned out. I had to, like, come sit down at my house in my underwear. But I got here and I ordered Domino's. And I blame her. I blame her. I feel disgusting
today. You should have eaten our Domino's. We have so, there's so much Domino's left over.
But it doesn't work the same with other people. Like, I can't sit at your apartment and eat Domino's like I ate Domino's. I mean, I took a large Domino's and basically made, like, it felt like I just rolled it up and slid it down my throat. I mean, pretty much. I feel disgusting. Like, there's a whole pizza being reformed in my stomach right now. It's like not even going down. And then I went straight to bed. I was like, "Good night."
Oh my God. Well, my fridge is a disaster right now because I've got some leftover wings. My first ever pressure cooker wings. Those turned out really, really well. I was really happy with those.
They really did.
They were really good. And then I made that Kentucky beer cheese, which I think we talked about last week.
That was delicious.
I'm so glad you liked it.
And also, I have to say that's a perfect friendship because the biscuits really sing with that shit on them. I mean,
I didn't even try the biscuits with the Kentucky beer cheese. I'm going to have to do that later today.
You have to do it. Heat up a biscuit, though, because they're better, like, slightly warm. And then put that beer cheese. Mm. I mean, they were just singing in perfect harmony.
It was super fun. Thank you for coming over. And you know, the best part about our Top Chef recap days is that we get to talk about food because Ryan and I really both enjoy cooking food. So that's what I love about these Monday episodes. We always go on a food tangent, but you know, and let us know, by the way, on our Facebook page, what food you guys cooked and had for the Super Bowl. Cause I always am in the mood for, I always like hearing new recipes and fun stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, I had the materials to make some boneless, like, popper wings, just basically like little tiny fried chickens with some sauce, but yeah. Domino's won. So I guess I'll have those, since I already blew it for the day, I guess I'll have those later.
Domino's will frequently win. By the way, I did dip your biscuits into that fake garlic sauce that Domino's comes with.
Oh.
And that was amazing.
Oh,
you know
the
garlic sauce?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know Domino's came with that shit. I thought that was Papa John's that had all that stuff.
Well, apparently Domino's does because our pizza came with that garlic shit, and I dipped your biscuit into it, and it was amazing.
Oh, nice. Oh, a biscuit.
I just want to mention to everyone, by the way, that while Ronnie and I are talking, our podcast is being broadcast live on Instagram at this very moment because we started up an official Instagram for Watch for Crappins, and it is uncreatively called Watch for Crappins, instagram.com/Watch for Crappins. So those people who have already started following us, we already have over 500 followers on Instagram, which is really nice, considering it's only about 36 hours old. Those people who are already following are watching at this moment, and some of them are even sending little hearts, which is really lovely. And really
love some
my self-esteem. So anyway, everyone go check out that Instagram. And Ronnie, why don't we start talking about some Top Chef?
Yeah, let's get some Top Chef on. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. Dun, dun, big dun, episode. Dun, dun. Big episode of Top Chef today. Big, huge.
Big, big episode. And not because there were some giant pelicans flying around.
I did like that people kept getting mad at the birds. And it really shows you how fucking aggressive and evil birds are.
Birds, you know, can be evil.
They're awful. I mean, there's the Hitchcock movie, of course, which, by the way, someone sent me a Ramona Singer. Did I tell you this already? A Ramona Singer Snapchat where she's, I told you.
Yeah.
Where she's like, oh my God, so many birds. This is like, look at all the birds. There's so many. It's like Hitchcockian or something. I'm like, oh, good.
Let's face it. These birds are out of control. They don't even walk normally. They walk in the sky. Okay. Sorry. I'm sorry. It's not right.
Get down from there, Luke Skywalker.
This is crazy. Whoa, this reminds me. When I was a little girl, I once went to the forest. I said, look at all the birds. And Geraldine Parsons Smith said, hey, don't look at the birds. They're going to peck your eyes out. And to this day, I'm afraid of birds, okay? I'm sorry. But pigeons are day class A, all right? I'm sorry.
Well, you should be afraid of birds because they will kill you. I mean, if you have any food. All those birds were gathering, and I just was hoping so bad they'd attack Casey.
I was hoping they'd attack Casey so badly also. I wanted one to shit right in her food.
Oh, actually, will you send me that picture of Casey that you took? Because Ben took a really funny picture of his TV yeah. when she was on with her snarling, and it's really good. So, yeah. Okay, so we open up. The only rookie left is Silva, and Silva gives us his, you know, like really low-key, like no energy monologue about how this has changed his life. And he's like,
yes.
I came to a place where I wanted to be, and then it fell apart. And then they show the fire, and he's like, and now I've learned to express myself. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
What were you like before? Before he was just like not even talking. He was just pointing to things.
You know, Silva, I was very upset at Silva because the moment he said in the first 5 minutes of the show, as the only rookie left, I've won twice. Now I'm basically unstoppable. I was like, Silva, why did you say that? You just ruined it for yourself. Why did you say unstoppable?
Yeah, I said unstoppable. Warning, fire in or restaurant burning down. Second arsenal warning. Alert. Like, how many warnings do you get? You're gone. All he was missing was a cell phone call to his family. But
yeah, well, I think if we had heard that he'd had a heroin addiction, then we would have known for sure it was just going to be over. I feel like he'd be like the worst heroin addict because he wouldn't even get that moment. Like, you know, he would like, you know, melt it in the spoon and shoot it up. And then his eyes would roll back in his head and he'd just go, wow. That was so good. You're like, are you high? That's you being high? Oh,
well, this meant a lot to him apparently because, you know, he's like, this saved my life. I'm like, uh-oh, now's the heroin addiction. Now it comes. It happens with him later than most chefs. So Tom comes into the stew room and Casey is so bitchy with Tom this whole episode, which is funny. Yeah. She's like, this is our area. We don't come into your area and bother you. This actually, is where we sit. I'm like, yeah, actually, yeah, you do come into their
you
area.
You do. Casey, you go in front of the judges and you actually bother them because they would just be sitting there eating meals if they didn't have to judge you.
So they have to go to a marina and Shirley's like, oh no, this means boat. I can't with boat. I have major seasickness. Last time I held toilet for hour was boat. Oh no, boat.
I was actually getting scared because of Shirley's motion sickness. Because once Padma announced, I'm jumping forward a little bit, but once she announced it was a sudden death, quick fire, and Shirley had motion sickness, I was like, if my precious Shirley gets taken away from us in a sudden death quick fire because she has motion sickness, I am going to be furious. I'm going to flip a table.
Well, it wasn't only motion sickness; it was the medicine. She's like, oh, I take so many medicine. I don't even know what happening. People talking. I say, what?
I'll take Jamie heroin to calm my nerve. Now I'm not the same.
I took so much motion sickness medicine. I got tattoo on my neck and my face and my knuckle.
I see baby pelican on the ceiling now.
Baby pelicans. Shirley would have like the wackiest. What was that movie? Where the baby's crawling on the ceiling. Yeah. She's like the wackiest train spotting ever.
Yeah, she would.
She's like, I jump off tree. It was so crazy. The whole neighborhood says, Shirley, jump off tree.
I feel like the baby sees Shirley on the ceiling, not the other way around. We also knew this was going to be a problem because Brooke hates vomit. And so if Shirley has motion sickness, it's going to make her throw up, and that's going to make Brooke throw up. So already this is going to be a disaster of a shrimp trip. And Tom, by the way, Tom was on the trip too, right? Wasn't he like, they're like, hey, guys, we're going to shrimping, huh? We're going to shrimping.
Look at that. Yep. Cut some fish. Yep. Look at that. What? Look at that. Pile of fish. What's that one? It's a shrimp.
It's a shrimp. It was like the most uneventful shrimping trip of all time.
It really was. It was just waiting for people to barf. And I like when people like Brooke say things like they're the only ones. And she's like, I hate vomit. Oh, really, Brooke? Because most people love vomit. That's crazy.
You know, I thought Linda Blair seemed like she was really in her element when she got to throw up everywhere. You know, I thought that she was really loving that.
Well, actually, yeah, that is a good way to vomit. The Exorcist way, when you're just like fully enjoying it.
That's actually how I imagine Shirley probably vomits. She just opens her mouth like a nutcracker and just a straight horizontal spew of vomit.
And then just a lot of talking after. Oh, did you see that? I vomited on Preacher. That was so crazy. The devil was inside me. My mother said, Why the devil trying to jump off the tree, Shirley? You're crazy.
You know, we didn't really talk about it last week when we were discussing the quick fire where they had to taste things, blind taste tests, and we're talking about everyone's reactions. We kind of missed Shirley. But Shirley was absolutely ridiculous during that challenge. She, everything she put in her mouth, she's like, ah, Tatooine. And she'd like take a breath of water and she just like splash it on her face and like spit it on Padma. Next.
What is that, so... pickle?
Oh, Calbred.
Padma's like, did you mean to spit that pickle up on my face?
It's still better than John calling cream cheese flour. Still much, much better.
So Padma is, they get a bunch of shrimp or whatever, and John is eating the raw shrimp. I guess that people do that, but I thought it was gross.
Probably could.
And Padma is waiting. Padma. I'm turning into Tom. Like, Padma. Yeah. Padma Lakshmi. Padma is waiting on the dock for a quick fire setup. And they're like, oh, was this going to be about shrimp? She's like, guess what? Today's quick fire is about shrimp.
Casey's like, yeah, I already figured that out. Shut up, Casey.
So John goes for the limes and Casey wants the lime. And she's like, you can't have all the limes, John. That's so John to just take all the limes. Yeah,
it really is. And it's really obnoxious. You really don't need that many limes, especially for a quick fire.
Yeah. And he's wanting to take all the limes. Anyway, it was just a dumb little thing. But John's really an ass. And he's becoming, again, I get he's trying or whatever, but he's just becoming more and more every week. Like, really, you're going to take all the limes now?
Yeah, I'm not into him. I'm not into him. Also, I did not like that Silva, my dear Silva, had to open up a can with his $400 knife. I wrote a note. I said, Silva's knife, sad face. I was, especially because he didn't even survive the episode. I mean, this guy ruined his $400 knife for nothing.
I know. That's probably all he got paid for the whole show. He's like, well, I came out even, and now I'm on heroin.
I'm so mad about my knife.
And Shirley with the hand mixer. What do you call those things?
Yeah, a hand blender. Yeah.
Like, oh, how do you work? Oh, I'm on so many drugs. Oh, yeah. How does work? This crazy.
Poor Shirley. She was in a catatonic funk, and she couldn't figure out anything. She just made a bunch of brown stuff.
Yeah. It's not me. No, my heart beating.
And Sheldon had made in the when they were in Alaska on his season. He smoked some
pine needles,
some clams and pine needles.
Bueller, seriously, is that Bueller. Necessary? This is a professional show, Bueller.
it's a super professional show.
Yeah, he smoked some clams, and so now he wants to do it with shrimp. And I really like that he was immediately called out, because Sheldon's doing that a lot this season, where he's like, "Well, I did that before and it worked, so I'm doing it again." Like, dude, come on, make an effort. You're on TV.
And the worst part is that he actually won the whole challenge with his do-over.
And he won it with a Tom. Oh, well, you know, the most original was Sheldon. I'm like, ugh, damn it, Tom.
Well, he also handpicked the shrimp. He made sure to get the shrimp with the roe in it, the pretty shrimp. He got two perfect shrimp.
Yeah, so, the pregnant shrimp.
Yeah.
We're monsters. Human beings are monsters. He's like, I want the pregnant ones. And we're like, go for it, boy. It's like, we're horrible people, you know? People are horrible. Humanity.
So Casey, you know, she's been having a salt complex recently because she's been getting a lot of notes that her food is undersalted. So we know the way this usually works on these shows. You go through a few weeks of being told you're not seasoning enough, and then you try to overcompensate and then you season too hard. So she salted her whatever she made. I don't know what it was. It was like, I think John made something in the salad ceviche, and then she made something ceviche.
She's like, it's going to have pineapple, curry, lime, cilantro. I want it to punch him in the face. That's what they get.
Yeah.
I'm like, first of all, you didn't even say salt.
Yeah. Yeah. So then when they tasted it, Tom's like, just a tad too salty. And she's like, oh, oversalted now? Oh, okay. Like, oh, they're the crazy ones. No, you're the crazy one because you're not salting it right.
Yeah. And I think what they're really basically trying to say is your food is bland and boring. It's just boring. And last week it was crab salad in between two pieces of white bread cut into a circle. Boring. Yeah. Okay. They're trying to be nice by saying too little salts.
Yeah. And before that, it was a spoiled scallop. So, you know, just don't give them attitude. They're professionals.
Yeah, Casey was giving it all over the place. And at one point on the boat, she told Tom, okay, I forgive you now. Like, you think he gives a fuck? He's probably like, this sad girl is back here again, you know? It's like waiting tables, that girl who always leaves because she got a job. Like, she booked something, but then she's back. And she's like, bye, guys. And every time she leaves, there's a goodbye party for her. And then it's like, we'll see you in 2 months when you're done shooting your one scene in that movie with Brad Pitt.
She just always does a goodbye party.
Yeah.
She pretty much signed on for a Top Chef just that way she could have goodbye parties at her restaurant. Yeah. They're like, oh, it's another goodbye party for Casey.
Like, well, it's a chance for someone to get me a cake. No one ever remembers my birthday. Because you know they don't with Casey, you know? She's like sitting there waiting for someone to do something special. You like, you see Casey's birthday on Facebook and you're like, God, it takes so long to just click this and write HB.
People are secretly happy because she shut down her wall. They're like, oh, good. That means I don't have to write happy birthday on her wall because I'm not going to message her. You know that feeling, right? Yes. You know that feeling when it's like a list of today's birthdays and three of them are like, you can write on their wall. And there's one person who's like, send them a message. I'm like, nope, I'm not sending a message.
I hate that because I actually am the sucker who will send the message. I'm like, why can't I write? I didn't even understand what was happening. I was like, am I blocked? Like so many so many reasons to take it personally start passing through my head.
I hate when someone has their wall closed and you know their wall is closed because you tried to write on it before and then their birthday rolls around and suddenly they've opened up their wall so that they can receive their birthday greetings. Like, no, you asshole.
Yeah, if you want my birthday greetings, you're going to get my opinion on politics the rest of the year or nothing at all, you motherfucker.
So even though we were saying how Casey was giving the judges attitude and she needs to stop it, the judges themselves were also giving some attitude. For instance, when John as well tried to overcompensate and he's like, well, I know that Padma likes things spicy, so I made it spicy. And Padma ate whatever his faux ceviche was. And she's like, did you mean for it to be that spicy? And he's like, yep. And she's like, wow.
That's my favorite Padma turn of phrase. Did you mean it?
Did you
mean it?
And then it's usually followed up by Tom taking two extra bites, going and walking away.
Yeah.
Thanks, John.
Well, that was a bite. So the top was Sheldon, really original. Wow. And then the least favorites were Casey, undersalted. I tried to punch you in the face. Shirley, it was so brown. And Silva, fire. So they were in the bottom, and Casey was out.
Yeah, I was at full panic mode because having Shirley and Silva, my two beloveds, at the bottom of this sudden death quickfire, I was like, if Casey outlasts one of these two people, I will be furious, absolutely furious.
You can just tell with Casey's personality that she's not going to win Top Chef. And there have been people with terrible personalities who have won. I don't think she has a terrible personality. No, but she has one of those personalities where there's such a sadness about Casey and there's such like an insecurity there. And she really wants to be, like Frasier's brother, Niles, you know, the show Frasier. Like she likes to think of herself as being very fancy and she knows everything, but then she knows like she's poor and she doesn't really fit that. And like, there's some weird insecurity about Casey that she doesn't ever let herself win, man.
She's basically, you know what I mean? She wants to be as good as Frasier, but at the end of the day, she's the one who gets the parrot attached to her head.
Yeah, pretty much.
She also slams a lot of doors when she goes off to ski cabins.
Oh, Casey, God bless your heart. So you can't even win in a Frasier fanfic segment.
She secretly pines for her father's caretaker.
Sheldon's like, I used that pine and won the whole show. She's like, damn it!
And she really, really resents her father's chair.
God, I would love a Frasier's dad chair in my house.
There should be a Top Chef challenge based off of the Frasier theme song where you have to make salad and scrambled eggs.
Toss salad and scrambled eggs. I'll say it again. I'm surprised and Camille from Beverly Hills wasn't like, not only was Frasier an actor, he was a songwriter.
Where is Roz, by the way? Where is she?
Roz is on something, I think.
Really? Perry Gilpin's on something?
I saw her recently on something. Not I don't know. But I was like, oh my God, it's Roz. It might have been a Whole Foods, actually.
You know what? I am still bothered by. I once watched an old episode of Cheers, and Roz came on playing a reporter from like the Boston Globe, but she had a different character name. And I was like, there is a rift in the Cheers universe, because this is Roz. This is not some lady from the Boston Globe played by the same actress.
Yeah, Roz wasn't like Roz was a method. She was one of those ladies. He's like, I'm just gonna be exactly myself, because otherwise I'll have to like act.
Well, I hope
she's like Frasier.
I hope that there's some good backstory about like linking the two characters that Perry Gilpin played in the Cheers universe. Like maybe the reporter unearthed something in Boston and had to go like witness protection program and had to go to Seattle and then became Roz.
Oh God. I'm actually looking at, I was only halfway there in that because I was looking at IMDb.
Okay.
Man, Roz has some sadness in her life, but she is paying her rent. So I'll give her that.
What happened to Roz?
Well, TV movie. It's like, she's basically a Hallmark Channel whore, but she was also in Scorpion, the TV series, a few times.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good, right? Credit.
She was credit. In one, two,
you mean
three.
Hashtag Scorpion.
She had a five-episode arc.
A five-episode arc on Scorpion. Okay, Roz.
And something called Mr. Robinson from 2015. She was Principal Taylor for 6 episodes.
Was that with Craig Robinson? I think it was.
She was in The Masters of Sex for an episode, which is horrifying. Like, let's admit it. I don't need to watch
it. Yeah, I don't know if I want to see Roz on Masters of Sex.
Yeah, did a few CSIs. You know, Roz is hanging on, and she still looks great. Okay, we're talking about Roz.
Everyone on Instagram is like, what the fuck is going on? Why are we talking about Roz? Because they don't know the context. They just all of a sudden hear me say, like, Shirley, I had another thing about Roz. What? Oh, wait. Emily Jarenz says, I just saw her on a commercial for a horrible Hallmark Channel movie.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. The Hallmark Channel. She's a Hallmark Channel hoe. Yeah. I think that's where I saw her, too. I think I saw her at my mom's house. Because at Christmas, my mom watches murder movies during the year. But at Christmas, it's all Hallmark Channel.
She's totally going to be in a holiday movie about Santa Claus. Like, falling in love with Santa Claus. Because, you know, I did watch a Hallmark movie where Crystal Bernard falls in love with Santa Claus, and Santa Claus is played by Steve Guttenberg. This is a true story.
Oh God, Crystal Bernard always has the worst taste in men. That's like the two worst. Like Santa Claus and Steve Guttenberg. It's like the greatest hits all rolled into one for Crystal.
And Steve Guttenberg would do this thing where every time he laughed, he would go ho ho ho, because he was like Santa Claus in pedestrian form.
Oh God,
he looked like Steve Guttenberg, but he was secretly Santa. And so when he would laugh, he'd go, ho, ho, ho. And I was like, what? If someone ever laughed like that, I would just run.
Like you can play normal, but you can't change your laugh, Steve. I mean, that's so Steve Guttenberg, though. That's why God would never make Steve Guttenberg Santa. Like, he's just not subtle, you know? They'd be like, oh, it's Guttenberg.
Yeah, he'd walk through the front door instead of go down the chimney. He'd be like, ah, Gutenberg, why'd you do that?
Well, everyone's starting their fires now. It's almost like they don't want me in their house. Yeah, they don't, because you're Steve Guttenberg. It's like, all right, it's Christmas Eve. Everybody start a huge fire in their fireplace. Steve Guttenberg will come in and eat your damn cookies.
And fall in love with Crystal Bernard, really? That's the one you choose?
Crystal Bernard probably still has feathered hair. Like, we all know it's true.
It's probably super feathered, and she's probably still singing that Peter Cetera duet somewhere.
Gonna take forever tonight.
Oh my God.
Okay, so top
sudden
chef.
Death. Speaking of Crystal Bernard, sudden death. Just kidding. Okay.
Speaking of Crystal Bernard, wings on the Pelican. So Shirley and Casey make squid, and Silva makes a redfish of some sort. And by the way, Silva's looked absolutely amazing.
What did he make now?
He made some sort of redfish.
And it was too salt. Oh, he made something with beets, right? Silva loves his beets. He just wants to make everything look bloody, you know? It's like, I did the beef with beets, and now I do fish with beets. Like, beets is just such a weird thing to attach yourself to, personality-wise, you know?
I know. Dr. Dre should learn something.
Maybe he's just saving up. He just really wants beats. It's like, I'm sick of the in-ear earbuds. They really make my head hurt.
So ultimately, Casey's dish was declared the worst.
Too salty.
She was sent home, but not before crossing her arms and giving the nastiest look at the judges. Like, really? This is how I get sent home? The hot one gets sent home on a sudden fire, quick sudden death, quick fire?
Yeah, she even said, really? So she was so mad.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so let's see here. Chef. I write chef a lot. I don't know why. I think if I'm confused on Top Chef, I just write chef. Like, so I'm not going to remember that tomorrow.
So the guest judge for this week's episode was the inventor of the cronut himself, Mr. Dominique Ansel, who showed up. And
what
basically,
an odd little man. What is he? Yeah. He's like a French Pee Wee Herman mixed with like...
Mr. What's his face? The British guy. I want to say Mr. Butts, but that's not his name at all.
Who are you talking? What's he from?
You know the guy. He was the priest in Four Weddings and a Funeral, but then he has like a slapstick thing. Mr. Bean.
Yeah. He's like a Mr. Bean and Pee Wee Herman. Yeah.
Like
you're
if
right.
Mr. Bean went to culinary school and got civilized.
Yeah, with like the bitchiness of like Isaac Mizrahi, kind of like he's got kind of all those going on. He was an odd little dude, and I love him because the cronut is actually one of the most amazing inventions of all time. I still go to get one. I have a place that serves down the street.
Wait, which one do you go to? Where do you get your cronut from?
Tasty Donut.
Oh well, I have not had their cronut, but you know that's like my favorite donut shop. One of my favorite donut shops.
It's very, very good. They've gone through a lot of shit historically. They've had to move from another location.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're still holding on. And this time everyone was like, I can't believe they're going to move. They're going to go broke after moving from this historic location. But guess what these motherfuckers did? They opened up across from the weed store and they didn't even know it. The weed store came later. I mean, how lucky is that? To be across from a weed store as a donut shop.
How fun is that?
I mean, it worked out perfectly. Talk about fate. Congratulations, Tasty Donuts.
They do a buttermilk glazed donut that's like in the shape of a fist, and it's delicious. They also do a very strong apple fritter.
Yeah, I don't eat any of those things. I like chocolate croissants. Maybe. I like the cream-filled donuts. What are those called? Eclairs. Not an eclair. I love an eclair too. But what are the cream-filled long
Boston
donuts?
Cream? Oh, the long ones?
Oh, yeah. Girl, yes. I love those.
Like a Boston cream. Yeah.
And now the cronut. And I still go in there for the cronut. Wow. Just, you know, what a wonderful invention.
I want to try their cronut because I only had one cronut ever. And it was good, but I didn't think it was like amazing.
This one is fall down good. Of course, I've only had it wasted. So I don't know.
I will try it. Honestly, I will try that cronut. There's a donut place on Burbank and Vineland that does a shockingly excellent glazed donut.
Oh, yeah. I love a donut. So anyway, Tasty Donuts, check him out. So the cronut, this guy, so talented. I mean, he's kind of creeps me out, but I totally fuck him just because of the cronut. He probably gets so much cronut ass, you know? He's probably been sweeping the city with cronut ass. He's like, you don't like that I don't have muscles? I invented the cronut. And it's like, penises flying in his face.
But he only makes a limited number every day, and I think that's obnoxious. I think he should make as many as possible.
No, girl, you got to keep them lined up. He learned from Steve Jobs.
From Stassi?
The Cronut King. So nothing more Southern than a good brunch. I'm like, well, that's nice. It's better than teen pregnancy. Because I could have gone there.
Yeah, so basically, so this is actually what cracked me up. So... we learned that the challenge is that they're going to make a brunch, but it's not just any brunch. It's got to be like a mashup brunch in the spirit of the Corona. You know, they're going to mash up like a lunch, a breakfast and a lunch thing to make something unique. And then Tom chimes in and he was like, yeah, like for instance, I used to make a foie gras. It's foie gras and a waffle. And I just cracked up.
That is fucking disgusting.
It's not that it's gross. It's just like, it's just the stupidest name. Foie gras.
Foie gras. Yep.
And he was so proud of it. Oh, it's a waffle. It's foie gras.
Took us weeks. We planned that for weeks. Crazy.
Foie gras.
I feel sorry for the goose who lost its liver for that shit. In a waffle, really?
You couldn't even do a torchon.
You couldn't candy an apple for me. I mean, Jesus.
I like we make the goose into Luann. Would you believe it? They put me in a waffle.
They didn't even cook me into the waffle. They just cut out the center of the waffle and just put me. Syrup was poured on me. Can you believe it, girls?
I mean, I'm right here in front of Tommy Toon, and I'm in the shape of a waffle. I mean, how embarrassing. Could you believe it? I'm here, I thought I'd be sautéed with a little bit of cherry jelly, but no.
Well, the only way to make lemonade from this is to sing for my new album, D'Agostino Battistino.
Say la vie. Because of Luann texting Tom. Tom, are you putting me in a waffle? Question mark. Please tell me this isn't about Tom.
It's about Tom. He's putting me in a waffle.
Oh my god.
Well, we're kindred spirits, and you know, if he thinks I'll taste good in a waffle, I probably will. So I trust Tom.
How could you do that? Why would you do that to yourself? You're just gonna let yourself be put in a waffle.
Yes. Yes, I am, Bethany.
But it's like, I didn't want to tell you this. I didn't want to have to be the one to tell you this, but this is what Tom's future is for you. And she holds up a picture of an Eggo waffle.
Oh, you knew about this for 3 days, didn't you?
Literally, Luann, I didn't want to tell you.
You showed this to entire supermarkets. Well, it's a Lego.
It's an Eggo. Okay, so these mashups, wow. So this, we already know pretty much at the beginning of this challenge, it's not going to go well. Nothing they were coming up with even sounded remotely okay. Like, it just all sounded terrible. Brooke was the first with her idea, and she's like, yeah, you know, this is really hard, because the cronut wasn't just invented in 10 minutes. Like, that was a long road, you know? And I don't know how I'm going to come up with something. And I already did my perfect thing last week for this challenge.
I guarantee the cronut was invented in 10 minutes. I guarantee he had croissanto. And he said, you know what? I'm going to put this in a ring and throw it into the deep fryer. Oh, hey.
Yeah, look what I did. Look what I did. And then Dick started flying in his face and a business was born. So she decided to make a yogurt parfait twist. There's no way you're going to twist a yogurt parfait into being something good. It's yogurt with granola, Brooke. I mean, there's no chance of that being good, Brooke.
Well,
if it's on the McDonald's menu, don't make it.
The thing is this. Tom had the best insight, and it was Aldo at the end. He's like, liquid nitrogen could have been your friend. And he's actually right, because Brooke had this crazy idea that she was going to make yogurt cups. As in a cup made of yogurt and put stuff in it. The only thing is, Brooke, have you seen yogurt? Do you know what yogurt is made of? Have you seen a freestanding yogurt structure?
Yeah, how are you going to make that into a cup? What are you thinking? There's no Lego shaping in Top Chef just desserts. Like, there's no yogurt challenge, you know?
You can't even make it into a yogurt volcano, okay? It's just going to ooze everywhere. What are you thinking, Brooke? You're smarter than this. What is wrong with you?
I'm not sure, but I don't like seeing Brooke get complacent. I mean, I figure you can at least, I don't know, take a bagel. Not alone, do something. Come on, you're Brooke. A yogurt parfait.
She was mentally exhausted, though, because the previous challenge, she made a dish that Tom said was the best breakfast and brunch dish he's ever had in his life. So, I mean, she was sort of at a disadvantage that she really can't top that. But
well, she should have just made it again. Why can Sheldon do it?
Yeah, exactly. Now, Sheldon, I thought, was going to go home at first, because he told a story about his family, and then they cut to him, like, unpacking a bag of pre-made waffles. I was like, uh-oh. That's the go home combination.
They know how to trick us now.
Yeah, but it turns out he really didn't. Sheldon's big idea was he was going to turn the chicken into the waffle and the waffle into the chicken. And by that, I mean he just ground up the waffles and put it on top. So because I think they were ground up, it didn't really make that much of an impact.
And yeah, the chicken didn't look like
a waffle.
His looked at least good. Wasn't it just fried chicken made with a waffle crust?
Yeah, his looked delicious. But he basically cooked the chicken in the waffle iron or something like that, or he fried it and then he like finished it in the waffle iron. So it didn't really look like a waffle to me. I thought he was going to like grind up the chicken and make some sort of like chicken like batter and then put that in the waffle iron.
I was just glad he didn't smoke something in pine needles. I was proud of him, because, you know, or like make a stew.
Yeah.
And then smoke that in the pine needles. Like, just combine everything he does over and over again.
By the way, I think I'm just going to interject and say I'm going to end the Instagram live thing, because they were down to just 3 viewers. So
yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, I'm gonna end it. So everyone on Instagram, thanks for joining. Listen to the rest of it on the show. Bye. Sorry. Now we're back.
Bye. Instagram. So let's see. So yeah, his didn't sound so good. And then what were the other ones? Silva was gonna make. What was he trying to make?
So Silva had. Silva's was also. It was misguided. His fusion was that he was gonna make a frittata, and then under the frittata, surprise, was gonna be some Arctic Char, which to me is like, that's not like a mashup or a combo. That's just like a, oh, there's fish under this.
Yeah, it's putting like a frittata on top of a fish.
And it also, it probably would have ruined the fish, because I bet that frittata would have cooked the fish a little bit.
Well, what would you have made?
For breakfast combination, I mean, it's hard. You know, I might have looked into, you know, I probably would have French toasted something. I probably would have done something with a French toast twist. Like, you know, I don't know. I actually don't know. I really don't know.
I mean, but I like a waffle. I was thinking maybe like a waffle burrito, like.
Yeah, or a waffle taco.
Make really thin waffles that you could roll around like a chicken burrito or something. I mean, that's not very creative either, but it's more creative than putting a frittata on top of a piece of salmon.
What about like a waffle club sandwich? Like three waffles?
Oh, okay. We just won. Thank you. We just won.
Or how about a waffle burger? Or how about a chicken and waffles where the waffles is a sandwich and the chickens? Or how about a waffle... I'm trying to think of other uses of like buns and stuff. Like, how about an onion soup with a waffle crouton?
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, that's getting more into Silva territory.
You probably could have done something with pancakes also, by the way.
I think the waffle burger or something could have worked. Anyway, we went, I was smoking out the door. Sorry. I was rolling around, slamming doors. People are like, is he cleaning his house?
You're like, we won.
Yeah, we won. That's it. Thanks for listening to Top Chef. We'll take our $150,000 from San Pellegrino, whoever the hell it is.
I'm sure there's something that could have been done with oatmeal, and probably a million things could have been done with eggs. I'm sure donuts. I would have actually done maybe. I might have played with a donut in a way.
Well, didn't John say that he was going to do a octopus?
John was bullshit. This was bullshit, okay? His fusion is he made a Korean octopus hash.
That's but then not later fusion. They were saying hash browns are supposed to be crispy. I'm like, it wasn't a hash brown.
No, they didn't say hash brown. They just said the hash was supposed to be crispy.
Oh, someone said a hash brown later on. I think it was the guest, but maybe they were like, he invented the cronut, so he made a mistake. Who cares? I don't know. They all looked gross. It was a disaster basically for everybody. Silva especially, because his ovens weren't turned on. What happened? It's like he had some oven issues or something and had to turn them into scrambled eggs.
Yeah, he had to. Yeah, basically, none of his frittatas were cooking fast. It wasn't just wasn't cooking, and so he had to scramble them on the stovetop. I think it was just. The problem with Silva's was poor conception. It was just a bad idea for a dish. And then on top of that, technical malfunctions. And on top of that, a bad job at saving it. You know, he couldn't get all his dishes out all at once. And he looked so sad and so adorable.
Yeah, he looks like he knew what was coming. And I kind of did too, because, I mean, they bring Gail back for every egg challenge. I mean, I don't think she'll miss one. I mean, Gail, I've never seen somebody get more furious about eggs. They're like, get Gail in here. It's an egg challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Gail, it was the hat ladies, by the way, which was hilarious. The guests were all hat ladies.
I love
their judgment.
Well, my favorite part was when John brought out his shitty fusion dish, which was not fusion at all. It was just a scramble, basically, with octopus in it. He basically was like kissing up, and like after he like presented his food, he as he's walked away, he's like, oh, by the way, I love your hats. And Padme was like, thanks. Like, I need a borderline homeless person telling me about hats.
Yeah, it was a disaster. They all pretty much sucked. Brooke was basically just nasty. I mean, it looked horrible. And she put peanut butter, like peanut.
It was a disaster.
Griddle or tried, some shit in there. Ugh.
And another feature about this brunch is that it had to be decadent. And so Brooke was saying she's like, yeah, I think that the yogurt is very decadent in mine. And Dominique Ansel, I think it was Dominique Ansel, was like, It's a parfait. Parfaits are not decadent. They're inherently delicate.
It's like diet food. Like, people eat yogurt parfaits on Weight Watchers, okay? No.
Yeah. And then Sheldon, honestly, Sheldon looked the most delicious, but I took issue with the fact that when he presented his, he's like, well, I think that mine's very unique. I'm like, it's fried chicken. Yeah. It's fried chicken. It's chicken waffles. Which
with frozen shit crumbled on top.
And don't forget what Catherine told us a few weeks ago. Catherine Spires, who is the food editor for LA Weekly, she said that chicken waffles is like the fastest growing fast casual concept out there. So it's hardly unique.
Yeah.
Sheldon, even though it looked delicious and I would have it.
And then Shirley made dumplings. She made hamburger. She made cheeseburger dumplings. Basically, she made dumplings with cheeseburgers inside.
Yeah.
Which one?
Yeah.
I was so happy for her because I like Shirley, but it was like a cheeseburger dumpling one.
It
like,
was very Food Network star. Sad. Yes. That was very Food Network star. The only difference is that like they would have wrapped it in Wonder Bread and called it a dumpling.
Yeah, this was a very sad week.
Food Network star would have been like, all right, your challenge this week is to put cheeseburger into other things. Oh, that's crazy.
Cheeseburger? Well, I've never had a cheeseburger that's not a cheeseburger. I mean, what are these people smoking? Some of that crazy weed.
So I took a pizza slice and I wrapped it around a cheeseburger and I called it a pizza burger.
And they're both frozen. And she probably would have won. But she'd been like, that's great. That's going on the front of our website for the next 5 months. basically they were all a disaster. I don't know how they picked which was the worst disaster. Brooke thought she was going home, and frankly,
Padma was railing against that parfait. Padma was furious during judging.
Yeah, Padma was so mad. She was like really fighting against that parfait. Yeah,
she was.
I love an angry Padma.
Yeah. I thought Brooke was gonna go, to be honest.
I did too, but it ended up being Silva, because I guess at least she tried, and Silva was like, eggs and salmon.
I'm actually going to Brooke's restaurant on Sunday. I'd hate to cheat on our plan, but I have a friend in from out of town who wants to eat dinner by LAX, and so we're going to go to the Triple.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, very excited.
So let's see. Tom sticks up for Brooke. Because Silva had shitty eggs, which I can't believe Gail didn't go off about.
I can't tell you how many times people didn't believe in the foie gras, but here we are.
But she did make a point to agree with Padma, which is kind of rare for Gail, you know.
Yeah.
But she's like, well, I have to agree with Padma because eggs. I mean, those eggs.
I feel like Gail would – it's not so much that it's rare. It's more that Gail probably agrees with Padma, and Padma's like, oh, no, I've changed my opinion, Gail. we don't agree, but you just said yeah, but now that you're into it, it's sort of like not as cool.
I don't even know what happened with Silva when he got kicked off. Did he even say anything?
He was like, thank you.
But you know the end thing where hands. He's like, no, but the end monologue thing where they're like, well, I'm mad, but I will keep going on with my life and, you know, keep trying to be the best chef that I can. Did he even have a little video ending? Because I didn't write anything down. I just wrote burn it down, which is so rude. But
I was probably too devastated to retain any information at that point. I couldn't hear anything through my tears.
Oh, poor Silva.
Silva.
Well, that brings us to the end of Tope Schiff.
Yes.
And now let's make a move on over to Atlanta for Married to Medicine.
Yes, because Real Housewives of Atlanta was not on this week because of the Super Bowl. We're going to go to Married to Medicine instead.
Eggs, you know.
Super Bowl, by the way. Sure. What a rough night for Atlanta. Rough night for Atlanta.
Yes, basically Lisa Marie was the Falcons. Lisa Nicole was the Falcons of this episode. Everyone's like, well, she's got it going for her. Everybody's going to be at hers. And, you know, she's had this trademark for 2 years. And it was like one table.
Yeah.
Teach me how to play football with you.
So let's see here. This was the big conference off where Lisa Nicole has screwed everybody over and trademarked the name.
Learn to take a husband who cheats on you back over and over again, possibly even with men.
Thank you. I've trademarked it. It's like, that is the longest name for a conference ever, girl.
Yeah.
Teach me how to have a pregnancy that your husband doesn't want, but hopefully will keep us together in the wake of him having infidelities with other people, perhaps men. TM.
That's a big poster.
So we open with my favorite thing of this show, the Jackie Cam. I love the Jackie Cam. And I love that they're doing it so much where Jackie's just driving to work at 4 a.m. and she's like, today at work I have a baby that's going to come out with 5 centimeters of cubed melosophus around its face. And then at 9 a.m. I have another baby coming out. What a day. I'm like, well, thanks for camming.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now I shall show you my breasts. So Quad is opening a birthday gift, and it's one Tiffany wine glass. And she's like, a glass from Tiffany. Well, what a lovely gift. Was it?
Well, what transpired was that I got one glass and I don't know where the other one is. Here, let me pretend to be an investigator. Mr. Tiffany's clerk, where was the last time you saw the other glass that goes with this glass?
Ma'am, I'm not sure.
Okay, inconclusive details.
I'm glad she opened that herself, because she would have blamed her brother for breaking the other glass, you know?
Yeah.
There should have been two. Who drinks wine? One glass. It's like the saddest gift to give someone. It's like, you know, Quad gonna end up alone anyway. Just send her one glass. I'm not buying two.
Drinking wine with one glass is like sending an elephant onto the Titanic. You're never gonna get a redo.
Oh. So basically the
You're like, okay, moving on.
Yeah, I don't need to try and top. I'm already laughing. The basic thing was the conference off. I mean, I guess we don't have to go through every moment of this show. But yeah. It's pretty obvious in this episode. And Lisa Nicole does lie a lot. Like, yeah. She just
Lisa
lies
Nicole is
over
shady
and over.
Bitch.
She is shady. And she's obviously lying. And what Heavenly is accusing her of. Because Heavenly's so crazy that if Heavenly accused anybody of anything, I don't think they would ever be convicted. Because she sounds crazy. You know, she gets so mad. Yeah. And it's like, she's just lying. She's exaggerating. But Lisa Nicole really did. She's like, let's have a name meeting for our conference, which we will do as partners. And then she steered it to get her name, which she already had trademarked. I mean, she's bad.
She is shady. Oddly enough, I don't feel like Heavenly is that shady, believe it or not. I think that, I mean, she's shady in terms of what she says about people, but in terms of business, I don't get that sense. But Lisa Nicole, I do feel like, is a charlatan. Because she tries to always talk like she is an entrepreneur when she's got this janky-ass fashion line. She does these seminars, which I don't even know the basis for them, and I don't know why she's qualified to give them. I think it's just a way for her to basically get some money from some gullible souls. I mean, remember, this is a woman who's in direct sales, okay? She is the woman who would, you know, call up about, like, vacuum cleaners or whatever, okay? So I just don't trust this bitch. And she's been caught in a million lies. You know, shady is as shady does. You know, she has a shady husband and she looks the other way, which is inherently shady on its own. So she's a disaster. And everyone knows it, which is why I think everyone decided to go to Heavenly's conference and not to Lisa's.
And it wasn't only the girls, the audience. I mean, she had one table at hers and she was saying, well, everybody knows. You don't buy billboards and you don't do advertising because you rely on the word of mouth from the community. I'm like, the word of mouth is that your husband's cheating with men.
Yeah.
And that you keep taking him back. So, girl, you need a billboard. I mean, sometimes you got to say billboards are okay again, because if you're relying on your reputation, you will be getting nowhere, which she didn't. And that radio thing she didn't show up for. Heavenly ended up using that to go on and say, well, I'm doing, here's the event and it's at this place. And she totally screwed herself over.
Yeah, exactly. Heavenly went on there. She was able to promote her stuff. And Heavenly was using social media. And by the way, P.S., Dr. Heavenly's been liking some stuff on our new Instagram account, which is kind of cool. But she went out and she promoted herself. And for Lisa, the quote unquote entrepreneur, to go out there and say, well, billboards, excuse me, I've got Adela voice today all of a sudden. But she's like
Adela imitating Portia.
She's like,
no one needs billboards anymore.
I mean, you know, she's saying she's got to rely on the word of mouth. How do you think that word of mouth starts? doesn't just come out of thin air.
Yeah, stupid. So she ended up screwing herself over with this one. And Lisa Nicole had one table. It was the saddest conference. So let's talk about Lisa Nicole's conference.
Yeah, let's throw that.
First of all, no one's there.
Yeah.
Second of all, she has nothing to say. She's just saying,
welcome to my conference. Learning to be loved by someone that possibly doesn't love you, but who cares? You committed and you have a mortgage together. TM.
So she's standing there with Darren, looking awkward as all get out. And she opens with, she's like,
sometimes marriages have problems. For example, we have had problems in the last year.
I'm like, oh, God, you're going to open with this? Mm-hmm. This is not good. Opening with your husband cheating and you doing nothing about it. Then she separates the men from the women. And the men, Darren goes off with the men. And he's like, now, I would like to discuss how the women, do your women, like, actually even care what you think? Because in my relationship, I just found out I was having a baby. And I was like, okay. And basically, the men just bitched about the women.
Yeah, that, like, there's a pastor who's like, now, my wife, she used to be much more, you know, supplicant. And now she has opinions.
Submissive. He's like, my wife used to be submissive. Now she's like, all your wives.
Darren's like, is she a man?
And what's
I was like, since when is Darren qualified to be leading any sort of discussion about anything? Okay, the guy has the worst lies in the world. I mean, he is truly the worst liar we've ever seen on Bravo. And he's supposed to lead a discussion. He's supposed to be a figurehead of something, of anything.
It was so good when Lisa Nicole's like,
it is very important to be able to trust your man.
And then they cut to Darren in the interview being like, I've been married to Lisa Nicole for 9 years, and I have been faithful 9 years.
Amazing. I mean, it's so crazy. I mean, by the way, the one good thing to me with Lisa Nicole's event was that she had Carla Stevens talking, and Carla Stevens is formerly of the long gone and forgotten, but never forgotten show, Big Rich Atlanta, which was such a hilarious show. I think it was on the Style Network. It was the only thing I watch on Style. Really, anything from the only thing I'd watch from even the E Network universe. That show, Big Rich Atlanta, so good. So when I saw Carla Stevens, I got all warm and tingly.
Well, the men basically bitched about the women and were like, yeah, women are bitches, right? Okay, so that was the men's conference. Then over at Lisa Nicole's, she's just basically complaining to the ladies, and she's got them all sat at one table, which is, I mean, kind of sad, but also hilarious. So they're all around this table, and she's like,
you know, let's talk about relationships in general, because I find it horrible when you are friends with women and they betray you and they act jealous.
I'm like, okay, so now you're going to talk about the women that hate you in your relationship conference. You are terrible at this. Terrible. Yeah,
absolutely awful. And I mean, there was just no one there. Mariah showed up. So, I mean, when Mariah's the only one in your corner, you know you got a problem.
Yes, and Mariah takes the mic and she's like, I would just like to say that Lisa Marie, Lisa Nicole, when women treat you like this, like her Popeye eyes twitching, she's like, no one wanted to go to Heavenly's. They just, like, whatever. Why are you guys talking about your personal issues? This conference, these ladies paid money to be here, and they have to listen to you bitching about your girlfriends. It was pathetic. It was really pathetic. And then Mariah's like, well, what she doesn't understand is that this is act one for these ladies. And act two is when they kick your ass out the group. And I'm like, well, you deserved it. And they do too. You don't get to just be fucking mean to everybody all the time. And they have to stand there and take it. And you're still mean. And when they kick your ass out the group again, I'm going to laugh.
Yeah.
Because you're an asshole.
Although that being said, Mariah continues to be hilarious. Like when she was talking about how she thought Heavenly was nicer when she was fatter, she's like, every pound she loses, she gets messier and messier.
She's like the Nutty Professor, honey. She gets skinnier and skinnier and meaner. It's like, don't bring Eddie Murphy into this, especially not at Lisa Nicole's conference, you know? She's had to put up with enough without being related to, you know, someone's husband going after tranny hookers in front of the donut time.
Well, at least she wasn't compared to Norbit.
That's when she was nice, when she was Norbit. So I want my Heavenly back like Norbit.
So meanwhile, over at Heavenly's conference, it was packed. pretty much the whole cast was there. I mean, because that's the implicit thing, is that the cast is going to be there and people are going to get to come and hobnob with like pseudo celebrities. So everyone's there. It's fun. Everyone's having a good time. They're up on the couch. It's like, you know, it's like a 1990s talk show, and everyone's having a great time. My favorite part was when one woman got on a mic from the audience asking about like, what do you do when you're into a guy but he's got a small penis? And I love Simone was like, that is a superficial thing. She's going to have a long road, long hard road ahead, and a very loose vagina. I'll be seeing her soon. That was, to me, was amazing.
And one of the husbands, or her husband, asked Heavenly, he's like, well, you seem very happy in your bedroom. Why don't you tell us what you do? And she's like, I say it all the time to my girlfriends. Get on your knees and pray really hard.
Heaven help me.
They asked Jackie. Jackie was being hilarious in this. She was like the medical doctor or whatever. They're like, yeah.
Dr. Jackie, what you say about sex?
And she goes, it is very important that a woman knows her body parts and she knows her anatomy. Because once she does, she realizes a woman can convulse certain parts of her anatomy to help the man stimulate her properly. And she's like, Jackie, a freak! Jackie, a damn freak! And then someone asked Jackie about anal, and she's like, now, anal can be dangerous because you hurt a muscle, and you'll find that you're walking around with a tiny bit of stool in your pants.
They're like, womp, womp, womp.
Heavenly's like, I don't want to hear about a stool in your pants, girl!
Oh.
So hers was fun, and yeah. Lisa Marie's was lame, basically.
Lisa Nichols.
God damn, I'm sorry. It's just going to be, she's Elvis's daughter in my head. It makes the show more interesting.
Oh, my goodness. So Jackie then went on and used some of Heavenly's advice, which is that she had to make it, she had to take some time out for Curtis and make it look nice. So Jackie went and got some catering and set up some candles and had a romantic little dinner for Curtis and read a poem about, you know, Curtis, I love you and it's an honor to be your wife and to be the main breadwinner in this house by delivering babies and being a doctor and spending all my time doing that to support you. It's an honor.
Nothing says this better than the Jackie cam. Now, let's watch.
It's 2 a.m. She loves that KLF song, 3 a.m. Eternal. And she likes the Matchbox 20 song. It's 3 a.m. and I'm lonely.
Whatever, so the other plot was Toya, as Lorianne calls her, Toya, income destroyer. Toya and Eugene having to go to the tax guy because they owe so much money to the IRS that they had to go on a budget. And Toya's all mad that they have to go justify their budget. I mean, this bitch just got an $8,000 a month home, which is insanity. Yeah. And she has to go justify this now to the tax guy. And she's like, we did a budget and I thought it was pretty realistical. So he's like, yeah, it's not.
Yeah.
What I should have did was take off all the wine because Eugene and I like to get 5 cases of wine every week just for the fun of it because we like cases, because we are into mysteries and stuff. Oh. But I guess it's too much money.
It's all for friends, Zia. And she goes, me and Eugene, when we go out, we baller. You know, we buy bottles, eat lobster. I'm like, oh, Toya, God.
And Eugene is like, what? No, we go to Applebee's. You do that with your friends.
Okay, yeah, I guess you're right.
And he goes, well, I guess I could give up my Porsche. I mean, these two are both driving Porsches. Come on. And she's like, well, that's very nice of you, Eugene.
See, he said he'll give up his Porsche.
She's like, and you will too. She's like, uh-uh.
Well, I have came here with my Porsche, so I can't give it up.
At one point, she goes,
look, it's logistical. You don't see the drug czar driving around in a non-Porsche.
No one who talks that poorly should ever be in a Porsche. It's just not fair. How about you learn English first?
So Toya. They ultimately, did you just call her Toilet?
Toya. No, oh, I Toya. Would never.
I'm surprised no one has called her Toilet yet. Toilet. So they actually wind up having a housewarming, which I thought was really sweet because they did a barbecue and they're like, we're going to pare down and we're not going to get catering and everything. We're just going to cook our own food and have a real cookout. I'm like, oh, wow. Congratulations on doing what everyone else in the country does. But it was nice because they cooked their own food and they had little chapers. And Eugene got really possessive over his chicken because he had clearly spent all this time making this chicken. And then Toya just went and slathered some random sauce on it. He's like, you sauced my chicken.
Yeah,
he sauced my chicken. That? He got to that.
She's like, oh, well, I needed saucing.
I know it didn't.
What I should have did was not sauce it, but I guess I sauced it. So
it's like, you don't do that to a man's chicken. And she goes, I doctored your chicken if you was. And he's like, well, you don't do that. She's like, well, then I nursed it. And he's like, well, I'll get another nurse from work. She won't do that. She's like, just giving him a look from hell.
That is not logistical, Gene.
So the big thing with this housewarming was it was going to be the first time that Heavenly and Lisa Nicole would come face to face since their convention off.
Man.
And it was great. It was a really great thing because Heavenly is so in the right on this one. And you can see this. What I like about it is this was not a made for TV moment. This was Heavenly truly exasperated with this woman, feeling betrayed and annoyed. And angry because Lisa Nicole was trying to pull a fast one and she basically starts confronting her because I guess she had called Lisa Nicole the devil at one point and Lisa Nicole did not really appreciate that, which cracked me up because it's so stupid, but she's like,
no, Lisa Nicole called someone a devil.
Did she call Heavenly the devil?
Yes, and so Heavenly's like, well, who's the devil, my devil? Mariah's like, I never heard anybody say devil. That's all I'm saying. I never heard the word devil. She's like, well, it's on my order. So was it you? And she goes, no, I've done nothing to be called a devil. She goes, well, neither have I. So we'll just have to ask the horse. And look, here's the horse right here. Maybe we can just ask him now. And then Joy is like grabbing her and pulling her away. She's like, we ain't even shooting yet. The cast ain't even here yet, girl. Come on upstairs.
Yeah, that was like the first time anyone's ever been dragged away from a confrontation on Bravo. Normally they just let him go.
Yeah, Toya was like, let her breathe. It's a lot of logistical. So she takes her upstairs. And then I don't know how you can be friends with Toya and ever expect advice because she never makes any sense. Heavenly's like, I'm trying to change, but I can have a conversation with somebody, can't I? And Toya's like, yeah, you can have a conversation. The problem is we need to make sure you have a conversation. Okay, thanks for the advice, Toya.
So Heavenly winds up grilling Lisa Nicole, and she really gets her, like, she's really grilling her. And Lisa Nicole, none of her story is adding up. First, she's saying, well, you know, I trademarked it 2 years ago, but no, I was working on this event and it wasn't that. And like, how come you didn't tell me? Well, and Lisa Nicole says, I didn't tell you because I don't have to tell you. And
she says,
and then
I don't have to tell my speakers my plans. And she goes, a speaker? I was your partner. And she goes, no, you weren't. You were just a speaker like everyone else. And she's like, then why you make me pay half? Like,
yeah. I was like, and everyone was like, ugh. Even Mariah was like, ooh,
Lisa Nicole's on trial and the glove is starting to fit, honey.
Yeah, but she's, God, Mariah makes as much sense as usual because she's like, oh, honey, Lisa Nicole is on trial and she is quad and the quad glove fits. I'm like, what? What are you even talking about? You're mixing metaphors that didn't make sense in the first place.
No, because she is looking guilty. But the glove is fitting.
No, I got she's trying to do an OJ thing. I got that. But how is that mixing with quad? Because she's trying to drag her argument with quad using her into the Lisa Nicole and Heavenly thing and saying that Heavenly is like quad because, like Quad, Heavenly didn't care about Lisa Nicole. She just wanted to use her for all of her contacts. Well, look around. Were those the contacts that she was trying to use? No one was there. Like, it doesn't even make any sense. Mariah, she needs to get out.
Either way, Lisa Nicole was definitely busted because the fact that she was then referring to Heavenly as a speaker at the event is so insulting. And if she's the speaker, why is she doing all the legwork with the promotion? Why is she paying for half of it? Really so shady. And then Lisa Nicole is like, well, if I come up with an idea, you're damn right I'm gonna trademark it. And so then Heaven's like, well, why didn't you tell me about it then? If I mean, it's just the way that Lisa Nicole tried to couch her shadiness into some sort of professional stance was really
despicable. She tried to make it sound like Heavenly was just another speaker like everyone else, and she failed. I mean, she basically just proved herself to be the biggest ass liar.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that she can be sitting with Mariah and you like Mariah more, I mean, that is huge on this show.
Yeah.
Because Mariah's the worst, and she will stab anybody in the back.
That is absolutely true.
And Lisa Nicole is actually now the worst on the show by far. No one likes Lisa Nicole now. No one.
By far. Yeah, she's been flirting with being the worst for a while, perhaps even midway through last season, but now it's definite. Like, she has definitely solidified her anti-lead. Whatever the opposite of a lead is, she's definitely
last
in the back
season
of the pack.
I didn't even find her the worst because she was going up against Quad, who plays so dirty. I mean, Quad had that queen on the red carpet, and she's like, yeah. Oh, I'm so surprised.
Yeah.
You know, claiming to have fucked Darren. I mean, Quad was doing such mean things that even if Lisa Nicole was being a bitch, she just got cheated on. She's probably currently getting cheated on, you know, with other dudes. And I felt for her, but now I don't feel for her at all. Like, she's terrible. And I hope she watched that episode last night with her husband just basically bitching about her again and saying that he never even wanted that kid in the first place or whatever. I mean, wow. And she'll still just be like,
well, what he meant was he really loves me and wants a baby.
Yeah, she's despicable. She's terrible. She's actually one of, I think, the reasons why marriage medicine, I don't think, is not as good as it used to be.
Well, I can't imagine that she'll stay on much longer because no one will shoot with her.
And she's not good TV. That's the thing. She's not like Mariah is also pretty despicable, but she's usually good TV.
At least
but
she's funny,
Lisa Nicole has never been good. Like her first season, I didn't even understand why she was there. And then her second season, she just sort of went crazy. And then this is her third season, right?
Yeah.
This was season four. Yeah, she's just really worthless.
Well,
and
Simone was great. I mean, Simone's always great, but I love how Simone just breaks it down because Lisa Nicole tried to guilt them and she's like,
it was beautiful, but the one thing that would have made it better was support from my girlfriend.
And Simone goes, now I've told everyone this and I will say it again in front of you and everybody so there's no confusion. Sounds like she's going to be all nice.
Yeah.
And then she's like, we have never been close. Our friendship is more superficial. We only see each other at events. And Lisa Nicole goes, well, we went to lunch once. And she's like, 2 years ago.
Yeah. She's basically, we're in the same cast. We're not friends. We're just on the same show together.
Yeah. And Lisa Nicole seems to have that relationship with everybody because the only one she's friends with is Mariah. And they're not real friends. They only shoot together to bitch about everybody else, you know?
Yeah.
So she's going to get what she deserves, I think, next season because no one's going to shoot with her now.
Yeah, I would like it if they got rid of Lisa Nicole because she adds a real element of bullshit to this whole show. And I think they just need to get rid of her.
Yeah, me too. I agree. And on that note, we are out for this lovely Monday. We will be back tomorrow with a little Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah.
Bye, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye. Bye.